Scano, Sego Sigoli, Ani. I'm David Moses with a CKRZ 100.3 FM news brief. The Assembly of First Nations election is taking place December 6th in Ottawa, with six candidates vying for the national chief position. CKRZ will be following this event as it develops and will be bringing you updates on the proceedings and final outcome. However, as all six candidates address the Six Nations Elected Council on Monday, November 27th, we are bringing you excerpts of their presentations so you can get a sense of who they are and what they believe are the important issues facing First Nations across the country. In a previous report, we heard from the first three candidates as they appeared in order to the Elected Council. They included Chief Dean Sayers of Batchewana, Treaty 6 Grand Chief Craig Mackinaw, and Chief Reginald Barros of the Muskaugan First Nation. In this report, we'll hear from the remaining three candidates as they also appeared. The first candidate in this report, but the fourth candidate overall to present, was Chief Sheila North of the Bunbonnabee Cree Nation. Here is some of her platform as she presented it to the Six Nations Elected Council.
Sego, Kinatamiskatano Lakinau, Sheila North the Sigasan, Bunbonnabee Cree Nation, Nina, Udosti Kiwetinoch, Manitoba. Hello there. Hi everyone. Thank you for your time and the ability and the opportunity to join you virtually. My name is Sheila North from the Northern Manitoba Cree Nation of Bunbonnabee. It's on the northeast side of Thompson, closer to Sandy Lake, if you know where that is on the map on the Ontario side. I'm very happy to join you at the virtual table here. I do wish I had the luxury of being there with you all. And I am also, grateful for this opportunity. I know that you have a lot of things on the go all the time, and I appreciate the time that you're making for all of us on this important discussion. But I also wanted to congratulate all of you for your new positions in this last few weeks. Congratulations, Chief, and congratulations to some of the council, but I do know and understand that you have a long history, all of you, so your community is blessed to have such long, consistent leadership among you, because I know that's one of the keys of having good, livable communities is having long, consistent leadership. So thank you for that and being such good advocates for your people. I will just tell you a little bit about myself before I talk about some of the issues that I've heard. I've had the luxury of listening as well with the discussions that you had, so I know what's important. But I want to tell you some of the history and the background that I have so you can understand some of my passion. First of all, I'm a proud mom of two and a cuckum of one. My three-year-old grandbaby is my life right now. I'm also an MMIW advocate. I have been since I learned I was a survivor of the issue in 2005 when I was just starting my work as a journalist. I came from my isolated community and live here now in Treaty 1 territory, now known as Winnipeg. And I moved here as a very young teen to start school because I wanted a better life for myself. And so I came out here, but it was very treacherous many times. And I found myself in precarious situations. So I understand some of the issues that lead to the issue around missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls and two-spirit plus relatives. I'm also a journalist. Like I say, I've been in journalism for the last 20 years in different formats, mostly with CBC and some with CTV. And I've learned a lot in that role about a lot of things, and mostly about our issues and our people across our land. So I understand a lot from that angle. And I also have an HR background as well. So I understand also from that angle of the difficulties that sometimes our communities and organizations face in these times. So some of my first memories of Mohawk people, of course, is from the 90s during OCA and that whole crisis. I was just a young mom at the time, and I was getting married in 1990 as an 18-year-old. I can't imagine an 18-year-old getting married these days, but they do. But that was me. I was just getting married at the time, but paying attention to what was going on. So I didn't understand everything at the time. I just knew how powerful the Mohawk people and the Mohawk Nation was. And it had a lasting impression on me since then. And I know how strong you are for your nations and for your people. And I also see the sport, the creators sport, very important and very key to many successes in your community. And I honor all of the champions, including my good friend, former chief Ava Hill, who's been such a huge advocate for your community and for your sport, all across, not just in Canada, but internationally. So much so, though, now that the Olympic Games are considering it to be, well, it will be a sport. It has that opportunity to have that presence of lacrosse being at the Olympic level. And now we are going to see, I believe, an Indigenous team there. And I want to continue and to help you and also personally help Ava however I can to make that happen. I think that it's a proud moment for our nations that across Canada can get behind. So that's very positive things that I'm hearing and seeing of your nations. Now, I know there are also other things that are going on, the challenges that your people face, the continued mental health crisis and the opioid crisis. Those are huge, and it's happening across Canada. I think I probably talked to about 300 chiefs across Canada so far, and I would say half, maybe more than half, are dealing with this very crisis. Talking to them about, they have just come from a funeral, or they're going to a funeral, or they're planning a funeral. It's just very devastating across our lands. And the pandemic didn't help, and neither does this economic crisis that has, appeared in our lives again to make our lives even harder than they were, especially in isolated communities. So I think introducing the traditional healers, as well as our mental health experts, and marrying the two, will the Western and traditional forms of healing, is so key and so important because we need both. We need centers that will respond to the needs of our people, that are in experiencing, these tremendous hardships. But we also need to work on prevention as we go forward, and to make sure that we're arming our young people and our current people with the right information they need to start recovering. And part of that is, of course, jobs and being communities and people being able to be self-sustaining.
The fifth presenter running for the AFN National Chief position was Treaty 4 Musketeering First Nation member and first vice chief at the Federation of Sovereign Indigenous Nations, David Pratt. Here's some of what he had to say.
My name is David Pratt, and I'm from the Treaty 4 Territory in Saskatchewan, from the Musketeering Soto First Nation here, right outside of Regina, along the Qu'Appelle Valley is where I grew up, between Paiute First Nation and Pasqua. I'm situated right between both those nations. So here's some of the highlights of my campaign platform going forward. And the theme of my campaign, Chief and Council, is strengthening collective sovereignty, and that's building upon our historical leadership and position at the AFN, which is why it was founded. There were a couple of reasons why it was founded. Number one, it was to bring a collective voice for all of our nations across Canada. And two of the main biggest priorities that established the organization was self-determination and sovereignty. So it was supporting our First Nations that are in treaty, those are that are have the old treaties, as well as the as well like the Touro Wampum belt that you have, the covenant chain, as well as the number treaties and all of the modern treaties too as well, but even supporting those nations that are in negotiations for treaties that have still not entered into treaty with the Crown yet. So that was the whole purpose of one of the mandates of the organization. And the second thing was lands and resources, making sure that we're benefiting from the lands and resources from our territories and from our backyards. And I know that the Six Nations has a particular issue around the Haldimand Track. I know that your support for during the War of 1812 and that historical alliance that we had, that you had with the Crown and we had with the Crown as a collective First Nations, you were promised a Haldimand Track. And I know that's one of your biggest issues right now too, as well, that's unfulfilled treaty obligations too, as well. So, that's an area that, I'm looking forward to working with our member nations on in terms of that unfinished treaty business. So the commitment I have, you know, is just pushing forward those rights. I think that the National Chief's Office has to reach out to our chiefs. You know, I think we really have to let them know that we're back and that business is back and that we're not going to waste their times.
The last presenter was Manitoba Regional Chief Cindy Woodhouse.
Cindy Woodhouse, I'm currently the regional chief here in Manitoba. I'm on a leave of absence right now, and I've got Chief Sheldon Kent in my place. I want to thank the Six Nations Council to meet with you. I know that there's so much to discuss. I know that there's a lot of issues that you face in your community, even though the rest of probably First Nations look to your community and we think of you as the Hollywood of First Nations. Like we really, you've always been very progressive. And, you know, a couple of times this weekend, you know, people had brought up how progressive your community is. But at the same time, I know that with growth, you need housing, water, infrastructure. And, you know, I'll always be here as an ally to try and help you to get those things for your community. I'm running for national chief because I've, you know, it's been a long time coming, I think. I don't know if I ever thought that I would run for it. I didn't even know that I would run for regional chief, but I've always supported former chiefs. My first chief was a Cree leader in Manitoba, which was a grand chief here. And then, you know, the prime minister at that time was Paul Martin. He'd asked me to come and work with them in their government, but I decided that I would stay with our own people. And ever since I was 15, I've always worked for our own people and you know, and our different leaders. I've worked for, well, Perry Bellegarde, I worked for 6 years, helped him with government relations and First Nations relations. And I traveled with him day in, day out. And it was a grueling 6 years. So I know what lies ahead. And, you know, it was always to make sure that First Nations, you know, we got investments, and year after year, we made sure that we worked on budgets and budget submission. And they're really political in Ottawa, but you have to work with all political parties. You have to work with everybody there to put, you know, when Six Nations, for instance, I know that you probably have big budget asks that you need to close some of your gaps within your community. And those should be put together now and submitted very soon, probably. And I know that AFN does their lobbying as well. But you have to lobby these ministers to make sure that they're putting these investments where they should every March, every time they do a budget cycle in Ottawa. And so I know that there's been investments over the past number of years. We have to continue to push for investments to get those out to First Nations people. And I'd like to continue to start lobbying for that and advocating the Senate, Parliament, and the ministers that be, and most importantly, the bureaucracy, because whether we like it or not, those people are stuck there for 30 years. So we have to build the relationships with them. I've built relationships with many of them already. One of my first things as national chief will be go to Privy Council, because he's the one, you know, the new person that's there. I'd sent him a letter and I congratulated him. And, you know, he wants to meet. I'm not ready to meet him yet, but I'll hopefully meet him if I'm elected. And but he pushes the doors of government. He pushes every single government agency, every single minister. He kind of pushes what's going to happen within government. So I'm glad to have built a relationship with him, and I'm glad that you know, he's agreed to meet. And so we have to take those things seriously, whether or not we like to work with government. I always think that our people depend on us for it. When it comes to policing, of course, I want to push for long-term predictable funding on that. That's going to be one of my first pieces right away, is to go after the government and say, you know, we need police services, but we need it from a First Nations lens, not with you guys dictating how to do that. Of course, they're wanting to do, they've been bugging, and I've been kind of pushing them off, and they want me to do what we did in child welfare. I was the lead negotiator there. They kind of want to mimic that and do policing as an essential service, but not if they're not willing to have those conversations with our chiefs on jurisdiction and our communities on jurisdiction. I think that's the first starting point, but that'll be something I'll have to talk with the minister shortly thereafter. And I think that they need to come in a good way. And if they really want to develop, co-develop legislation, then actually co-develop it, not write it and send send us the copy later, just like what happened with water legislation. And I told Minister Haidu this. I said, I had to go above her again, and I went right to the Prime Minister's office and Privy Council, and I said, that legislation cannot be introduced, the water legislation. I said, First Nations will be in a frenzy, will be irritated by it. You can't write stuff and then submit it and then come to us after the fact. You have to talk to our people ahead of time. And so there was strong voices across the country. We brought all those strong voices together, Phil Fontaine and Chief Linda DeBosigue and other people together to try and look through that legislation, because they're still pushing it, right? They want a First Nations water agency, but we put some of those specialists in the room to leaders. All these things have to be worked out. It's a massive file.
Six Nations elected Chief Sherry Lynn Hill asked her about Bill C-53.
Well, Bill C-53, I'm sure you've heard this already, and I was talking to some of the MPs already, and every single political party is going to be supporting Bill C-53. So I think that number one, we need a legal opinion, and we're going to need to serve the Government of Canada once we have that legal opinion, and make sure that we write to them. And unfortunately, I think that we're going to have to go to court on some of this stuff, on some of these laws that they're trying to pass through. And I think that if it's going to pass through, I think that if it passes through the House of Commons, that we start going, we've got to lobby the Senate to ask them to partner with us. And we have to lobby them, because this is discrimination on all of us. Every time one of us, each of you men have a child, or you women have a child, our people have children, they ask us about membership. Okay, well, prove that this child is, you know, from this band. Well, then that's discrimination, because again, and they'll use another Indigenous group, and they don't have to declare that. And I think that that's, wrong, and we have to speak to the Senate now. I think once it passes through Parliament, I heard it's going to pass in December, then we have to all go to the Senate, and we have to work together in a good way to tell these people and explain the discrimination that they're creating once again, that will end up in court once again.
As mentioned, CKRZ will be following this important election and bringing you updates and results as they are received. The first ballot is said to be completed by 3:30 p.m. on December 6th. In the past, some AFN elections have taken up to 4 or 5 ballots before a clear leader is announced, and proceedings could go well into the night. Stay tuned to CKRZ for AFN election developments. For CKRZ-FM, I'm David Moses.